In May of 2008, a UNC Charlotte student was found dead on the banks of the Catawba River. That student was 21-year-old Ira Yarmolenko. Her body was found lying beside her car with three bindings around her neck. Two Gaston County men who were fishing nearby where Yarmolenko's body was found, Mark Carver and Neil Casada, were charged with murder. Casada died before the murder trial. Carver was convicted in 2011 and is currently serving a life sentence. His attorneys are hoping to change that. This week, Superior Court Judge Christopher Bragg is hearing testimony from witnesses ranging from medical professionals to family members. WFAE's Sarah D'Elia was at the Gaston County Courthouse this morning and joins us now. Sarah, this was a huge case at the time. Remind us how Mark Carver was convicted.
Well, Carver was convicted on two major points. The first was touch DNA found on a vehicle. And touch DNA is sort of this controversial thing to some people because it can be easily transferred and it's very small amounts of DNA. The second point is testimony from a detective who testified that Carver had described the victim during an interrogation interview. But today was more focused about Carver's physical and mental capabilities versus old evidence. Carver was present in an orange jumpsuit and ankle shackles in court today, and he was paying close attention to all the testimony. And both he and his lawyers would sort of crane their necks to look at the state when they went to ask a question and then immediately over to the person testifying to hear their answer. Behind Carver was four full rows of friends and family members sitting behind him, people like his daughters, cousins, and a brother. Besides his family and various lawyers, it was mostly media in the room. I should add the judge is not allowing any media to record inside the courtroom, and that might have to do with something about this case in particular. There's been a lot of attention over it for the past few years that it's been ongoing. In 2016, the Charlotte Observer put a spotlight on Carver's case in a six-part series that explores and questions his convictions.
All right, Sarah, and who testified this morning?
Well, we heard from his two daughters. Both testified that they would help Carver with chores and household duties. They said that they would have to help him with tasks like tying his shoes because of his carpal tunnel syndrome. This detail is especially interesting because the victim was found with those three bindings around her neck. So clearly the defense is trying to raise some doubt there. Carver's attorney is Chris Muma, and she's the director of the North Carolina Center of Actual Innocence. And she also posed questions to both of his daughters about Carver's intelligence. Both testified that their father couldn't read or write. And multiple people testified that Carver has a bad grip. He would often drop objects. We heard from his brother, who testified that he was hunting with Mark Carver. They do that regularly, and that he would have to help him with certain things because of his weak physical strength. And a cousin testified to that as well. He made a comment that he would have to help bait fishing lines or pull back a crossbow that he said Carver used.
And what kinds of questions did the state have during cross-examination?
Well, from his line of questioning, Gaston County District Attorney Locke Bell was trying to kind of prove that Mark Carver was of reasonable intelligence. He could do things like pick his daughters up from school, go to the bank, he even bought a car. He would also point out that Carver would sometimes go fishing alone, and that when he did that, Carver would have to set up fishing poles by himself and cast a line by himself.
Well, was anything brought up today about Carver's previous trial?
Carver's defense team did not present any evidence or witnesses during the trial in 2011, and that was brought up time and time again today. Witnesses on the stand were asked if they were approached to testify 8 years ago, and overwhelmingly, the answer was no. When Carver's sister-in-law, Robin Carver, took the stand today, she recalled being told by Carver's original defense team that not calling any witnesses or having Carver testify was a strategy. That way, the defense could have the last word at closing arguments. Carver's defense attorney, Chris Muma, asked her why the family thought that was a good strategy at the time. And Robin Carver responded that in retrospect, it wasn't, but they thought that the attorney knew best at the time.
All right. Any sense as to how long this hearing might last?
Well, that is the question everyone is wondering, and the hearing could go very well likely into next week.
WFAE's Sarah D'Elia. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Mark.